Hello. Welcome back to the Not God Pod. This is season 2, episode 10. And today we are recording live in the same room.
For the first time ever.
So bear with us on the sound quality.
Yeah, we're also in a dance studio with people outside.
Yeah.
Children.
Being loud. There is dance classes.
Yep, there were elephant noises happening in the other room earlier on.
But today we are going to be talking about our queering theatrical practice workshops that we just finished running as part of our Arts Council funded project period for our last show, What Makes a Body Terrifying, and kind of talking through some of the ideas we brought to those workshops and also some of the exercises that we facilitated in those workshops, in the hope that this podcast can kind of be like a long-standing open resource for anyone wanting to get a taste of the workshops who couldn't attend, explore that bit of their practice. So consider the background noise, workshop atmosphere.
Yes. if you are new to this, hi, we are the Not God Complex. You might have deduced that from the title.
Yeah.
I'm Billy, and I use she, they pronouns, and I am one of the co-directors of this company.
I'm Zoe. I am the other co-director. We are a theatre company also, in case you didn't gather that. We have an interest in non-hierarchical practice. We make devised work. A lot of it is about identity, I guess, in various ways.
Yeah. A lot of it is about queerness.
Yeah, both in the gender and sexuality sense of the term and also in the kind of deconstructing normative
This is what we're going to go into
ways of doing more. And this bit of practice that we're talking about today has come out of a project we just did, and shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay,
shall we talk about what the project was?
Yes,
the project was it was a show called What Makes a Body Terrifying, which we were lucky enough to have Arts Council funding for, and it was a four-night run. My memory is a sieve.
Okay, I will do the details.
Go.
So it was a four-night run from the 15th to the 18th of August 2022 in the Hope Theatre as part of Camden Fringe. And then we, as part of our project activity, ran three workshops on basically our practice of making queer theatre, for theatre makers wanting to make their work more queer.
Yep.
And we ran those at Central School of Speech and Drama, at Young Actors Theatre in Islington, and then a hybrid, open to anyone version that was part at Theatre Delhi, part
online,
as is a hybrid.
And for this, I guess we're hoping it can be an extension to that open one. So both for anyone who maybe missed the chance, didn't see, wanted to come, couldn't, but also actually I think for anyone who did join that, and especially the open one, because we had people from lots of different backgrounds, which made for a very interesting conversation. But I think the topic that we're discussing and researching is something that can be applied to your own personal practice, and within the workshops we didn't really have the chance to allow for that. So I hope that this is like an extension to that, where you might find some interesting thoughts that you can relate to your own thing, basically.
Or if you just don't like workshops and prefer to do things by yourself.
That too.
This is also, you can do this. Yeah. You can turn us off whenever you want.
Yeah. cool.
So the structure of these workshops was that we kind of started, well, we started with a warm-up. So if you want to have a stretch.
Yeah.
You do you.
Have a good old stretch. You can walk around the room if you want. You can be aware of your surroundings or not.
But after that, we kind of started with a little bit of discussion with some very open, like, question prompts. The first of which was, what does queer mean? So if you want to pause now and write down some ideas on what you think queer means, go for it. And then we will proceed with our discussion and findings.
Yes. As we mentioned earlier, we're constantly looking at queer, and as we said, at queer as a identity-related term, but also as a theoretical anything that is not the norm.
Yeah.
Term.
And we found that when we asked this in workshops, there was a lot of variety in the responses, with some people interpreting that as things, for example, like queerness is freedom or queerness is
expression or community.
Yeah, or being free from limits. And then also, yeah, the terms relating to gender and sexuality of not fitting into any of the kind of normative boxes there.
Of sexuality.
Yeah, we also discussed queer as an umbrella term, mm-hmm. And as a community thing.
But I think going off that, so like off the idea that queer within the world of sexuality and gender is an umbrella term and means that you do not fit into the boxes or the binary that is set for sexuality and gender, that idea has then been taken into other theory. And that's what we mean by queer as the theoretical,
yes.
The academic idea of...
So, yes, our next question was, what is queer theory?
Basically.
Again, if you want to pretend you're in the workshop, pause, write down some ideas.
Yes.
consider. And this was an interesting discussion as well, because in a like creative workshop space, you get varying levels of academic background.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are like, queer theory is this, this, and this, by this person and this person. And some people
yes.
came in not knowing that. But basically... Yeah, as a field of theory, it's looking as queer as being to do with deconstructing normative power structures.
Essentially. In every field that you can think of, I think it's applicable.
Yeah, so basically, like, what are the normative ideas here and how can we diverge from them?
Yeah, dismantle them, yeah. Subvert them.
Which yeah. I think is interesting and brings us back to something that I know we have discussed on this podcast before, probably towards the end of the first season, about can you queer something if you are not yourself queer in the sense of the like gender and sexuality?
Yes. I think we have a whole episode actually on...
Can you do queering if you are not queer or something?
Yeah. And I still don't think we have an answer to that.
No.
No.
Because I think it's partly personal opinion, but also like the answer I think is technically yes, by definitions,
mm-hmm.
yes. It's more a question about the ethics of that in relation to identity politics, appropriation,
yeah,
all these sorts of things.
I guess the question is actually, is it morally sound to queer to say that you are queering things, to use the word queer if you are not yourself queer as in terms of identity.
Yeah, because I think also we've had discussions about both how bits of our practice are intentionally queer, but also how bits of it are inherently queer just because of how our identity informs how we experience the world and therefore how we
yeah.
approach things.
It's just inherently queer because... We are queer,
yeah.
And therefore, there is.
Whereas
no...
to do the like action without that is a different thing.
Yeah, I think so. Potentially also interesting because potentially, as it's something that comes quite inherently and naturally to us, maybe it's a whole. I mean, it is a whole different thing to be queering something when you don't have that as a baseline. And what is that work? And surely that's also valuable work because I'm always here for people. Questioning their own
yeah.
structures.
And I think when we get into the kind of more practical applying to like the creative process exercises, this will become a bit clearer.
Mm.
But we're kind of inviting to question like, okay, what power structures is that narrative upholding and how can that be adapted? Which is something that you would hope that like people, I don't know, writing like big TV shows who aren't necessarily queer might
consider
look at their thing yeah. and go, okay, this element,
yeah,
which I guess is like representation politics, but I would say that is ethically good, even if you,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's an open-ended question.
And then I guess this brings us into we kind of accidentally segued with that.
Yeah,
giving the next prompt, but the next prompt we had was what was queer theatre.
Yes.
And with this, we discussed, yeah, both stuff that has been, like, adapted to include queer relationships, things that tell queer stories. Also, a lot of ideas about that all theatre is queer theatre. Yeah. And then things that are, I guess, performance styles that are particularly part of queer culture. So, for example, drag.
Yeah, musicals.
Yeah. But which we think is funny because we think musicals are also very, very...
normative.
Yeah.
Yes, I was about to say, it is that thing of, like, what is popular queer culture versus what is queer culture in terms of, like, questioning authority and questioning structures.
Because, like, that lots of queer people like musicals doesn't necessarily make musicals queer.
Yes. And quite often, actually, musicals perpetuate societal constructs and stereotypes. But that is maybe a different discussion.
Yes. So, the next thing we did after this discussion is consider how we could intentionally adapt a well-known piece of theatre to be more queer, to queer it. And looking at this both in terms of the narratives and also in terms of the way that it is staged and constructed. So this is where this is going to go a little bit more into, like, exercises and tasks. So maybe, I don't know, get some paper.
Yeah, get some paper. I think also, so the three things so far, if it's not been clear, is think about what is queer, think about what is queer theory, think about what is queer theatre. And also, I think at this point now is where to take our exercises, but understand that we are coming from a very theatrical point of view. And if you are working in a different medium, please feel free to take our exercises and apply them to your own work. So, for example, if you're a dancer, maybe you're not going to work with Chekhov. Instead, you're going to work with, I don't know.
The Nutcracker.
Or something like that. So, yes, get yourself some paper. Get yourself a friend to do this with, maybe.
If you want.
Or
don't
not.
Have to. No obligation.
Queer the structure.
solo performance is where it's at.
Yes.
So, we're going to give some examples of things that we consider to be very normative, normative well-known pieces of theatre. And again, like, if you don't work in theatre, you work in film, dance, I don't know what else, fine art.
Yeah.
Pick
lighting, like, sound.
Pick the equivalents.
Yes.
So our examples are, and also if you can think of a better example, do that.
Yeah.
These are examples. We have Chekhov's Three Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Les Mis.
Streetcar Named Desire.
An Inspector Calls, that good old do it in school play.
The Crucible.
Grease the Musical.
Yes.
The
Cherry Orchard, or really any Chekhov.
Yeah. Those are some examples that we could think of, like, classic well-known plays. Pick a well-known normative play or thing from your field that you like. That's your first task. You can pause this until you're done.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter too much. It's more for the... just to give you something to work with as we talk through the process. But if you have a rough idea of the plot, that's a good start.
Yes. Something that you think is... that you know well and that you know what the, like, normative way of staging this thing is. So, for example, with any Chekhov, it's going to be front on, proscenium arch,
naturalism,
Stanislavski, that.
Okay.
So pick something that you know.
Now that you have picked your thing, the next invitation is to, on your bit of paper, write down all of the normative elements of the narrative that you can think of. So that could be, for example, that it's a heterosexual relationship, or things to do with the gender roles put on particular characters, or the setting, or some stuff came up in some of our workshops about, like, things having, like, Christian-centric elements to the plot in terms of religion or, cultural norms.
Yeah, it could also be Eurocentric or America-centric.
Yeah.
So, yeah. identify
all the normative elements.
Yes. Pause now, write that, or somehow make note of it.
Okay, now you have done that. Good job. I promise when we facilitate in a room, we're slightly less chaotic.
Maybe.
So the next task is to think of how you would change those elements. How would you query them? How would you edit those narrative structures to dismantle the normative power elements present in it?
Yes. And so the obvious thing maybe would be you have a heterosexual relationship and you make it homosexual. But think deeper than that. Think.
Get imaginative.
Take all of the things.
You can do it.
And find, and you don't have to marry yourself to any ideas. This can literally just be
it's a
all
process.
Of the different ways that you could queer all of the elements.
Yeah.
So take some time to do that. And when you're done with this, I mean, I'm going to edit all of this anyway. Yeah. These pauses are going to be much shorter than what we're getting now. Okay.
Good job.
Well done.
Well done.
Great.
Can't wait to hear your ideas.
Yes.
So that is the narrative component.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying the normative elements of the narrative and querying them. The next step is to think about the way that this piece of theatre would normatively be presented. So, for example, we've given the example of
Three Sisters.
Three Sisters being naturalism. And think about what in a like traditional normative production of whatever thing you've chosen. And again, obviously, if you're working in a different medium, take what elements apply to you. But for example, what would the set look like? What would the performances be like? What sort of people would be cast in the roles? How would they be costumed?
Yeah.
What sort of a venue is it in?
Yeah. Is it a proscenium arch?
like, think of all the normative elements of the presentation of this production.
Yes. So now we're back to just listing.
Yeah,
okay?
Write them down.
You're not querying anything yet.
Write
just
them down
saying
first.
What it is.
Yeah. Okay.
And then
return.
And queer it.
Yeah. So next, just as we did with the narrative, consider alternatives. So maybe if it's something that's always done in a particular very traditional grand theatres, like the sort of theatres you'd expect like a touring musical to be in, maybe it's site-specific or something like
that. In a little underground theatre, studio theatre or something.
Think of non-normative alternatives to the things you have identified.
Yes. So the lighting, the sound, costume, everything.
Yeah.
Where the audience is.
And then, when you're done, return. Okay, so now you kind of have a basis for your queered version of this traditional bit of theatre. And I guess our invitation here is just to, in whatever way works for you, in whatever setting you're doing this, whether you're with people or not, to kind of create the thing, start to...
Yeah. So maybe this is what's nice about this setting as well, is that now in a real life, in-person setting, we would have a set time and we would ask you to do some, like just a short scene or give us a presentation, a pitch. But if you want... go and make a whole thing, and if you stage it and actually get a production for it. Hello, this is Billy from The Void. Just interjecting here to say that I don't know how neither of us at that point noticed that I said productioned, when clearly I meant programmed. Anyway, carry on.
Invite us.
But yeah, the invitation is just to...
Try it out.
Putting together a performance or a piece in whatever medium you're working in of whatever thing you've chosen in a queered manner. And think about how that process and how what you've discovered could be applied to your own practice.
Yes.
Please excuse the...
The screaming children. They're not ours.
We are not responsible for the screaming children.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we left the workshops that we did.
Yeah.
We did have one final prompt, which was to speak to somebody else, like a friend, whatever, about queerness in your own practice and where your own practice can allow for moments of queering. But we never actually got around to it because we always ran out of time.
So this is now for everyone, if you were involved in the
extension test.
Think about your own practice, both theoretically and practically, or whatever works best for you. We are also here for and available for conversations about queering practice.
Message us, email us, all of that.
Yeah.
And also if you, work with, for example, young people or in education or whatever, and you would be interested in us coming and doing this workshop
with such young people.
We're also up for facilitating it again.
Yes, absolutely.
So also just email us.
Do we want to give some potential references to look at? We haven't mentioned Sarah Ahmed. That feels wrong.
I don't know. Particular things that have informed this, I guess, in our practice is the work of Sarah Ahmed, queer phenomenology specifically, and generally her work is around dismantling power structures in specifically higher education is a lot of what she mm-hmm. writes about, working in universities and academia and all of that.
Would recommend.
Yeah, so we've been inspired by a lot of that and how we can move that into our own field. We hope you enjoyed this. We hope it's been food for thought.
Yes. Please share to anyone who you think might enjoy this.
And we will be back again next month with a normal podcast.
Yes. We hope you enjoyed our experiment. Maybe this is us queering what podcasts are.
Maybe it is. Screaming children included.
Yes.
We are also always looking for people to come on the podcast to chat to us. So again, if you'd like to do that, just let us know. You can find us on Instagram at the Not God Complex, on Twitter at Not God Complex, on Facebook at the Not God Complex, on TikTok at the Not God Complex. We can't remember our TikTok. Pending.
The Not God Complex.
On TikTok, we are the Not God Complex.
Basically, we are the Not God Complex everywhere other than Twitter because they wouldn't allow for that.
You can also see what we're up to on our website, which is thenotgodcomplex.com.
Yes, we've had a spanking new app update. It's all... It's fun. It looks better.
Before, it was giving graphic design as my passion. Now it's fine.
If you would like to come and graphic design for us.
Also let us know. There will be updates on new exciting things very soon after this goes out.
Yeah.
Between now and the next podcast.
Uh-huh. So look out for that.
Yeah, follow us.
Great.
Cool. Thank you for listening. We will speak to you next month. Goodbye.
Goodbye.